Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Haas of Team Reba.
And I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank.
Yes, you are.
Happy to be here. And with us today, we have two guests that are talking about the Puget Sound Honor Flight. And so Lilia Anderson with Merrill Gardens, who's basically helping, you know, got this whole thing going, which is so fantastic.
Literally getting it off the ground.
Right. And
yes.
And
I like
And we have Fred Charles. And Fred, you were recently went on one of the Puget Sound Honor flights.
This past May.
Yeah. Tell us about your experience.
It's a fantastic experience. You know, when I was invited, I didn't really have any idea what was going to happen. But the organization is so great. The volunteers that run this are unreal, the way they put everything together and keep it together. It's a fast-paced program. You're there for three days, basically, but it's nonstop.
Sure,
from
6
o'clock in the morning till whenever you quit at night.
You're regimented. Did it remind you of your military time?
Just about, yeah.
Yeah. So, bringing back the experiences. So, okay, before we get too far into the experience itself, so tell us, what was your military background?
Yes.
Well, I was part of it was originally called the U.S. Air Corps, now the Air Force, and I flew C-47s in the Pacific during those 19 months.
Right?
Skytrain.
Douglas Skytrain.
Right.
Yeah, and you said which years were you serving?
From 1944 through to the end of 45.
Okay, wow.
So you were there. You saw the end of the war then, or pretty close to it.
Well, actually, our flight group were into at Sugi Airport in Tokyo before the war ended.
Wow.
Before MacArthur signed the peace treaty.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Yeah.
And we flew in a communications signal corps outfit so they could communicate. So we flew in this day and didn't know what was going to happen because we had no communication with the Japanese at the time.
Oh, wow.
And had a pretty good experience, really, with them. They backed their little trucks up to the airplanes and offloaded everything like nothing had ever happened. So
it
was quite interesting.
And were most of your flights, were you flying cargo then? What were you actually flying at the time?
During the period in the Pacific?
Yeah.
Well, it was a little bit of everything. We had flew cargo, we flew troops around, picked up the wounded from wherever they were fighting, did what you call drop missions where we dropped supplies to the troops back up in the hills and stuff, wherever they were.
Sure, sure.
And
what island? So you mentioned the Philippines and Japan.
It was everything between Australia and Japan.
Yeah.
Everything. So basically New Guinea and the Philippines.
You saw a lot of water.
A lot of water.
Boy, I can only imagine.
Huge expanses of water. Yes.
And what was it like back then? I mean, how old were you at the time when you were flying?
Around 20.
Around 20. And are you originally from this area?
No, I originally came from the Middle West, from Kansas and Missouri and Iowa.
What? Where?
I lived in Kansas?
Yeah.
I lived in a little place called, I was born in a town called Downs, went to high school in a little town called Solomon, which was close to Salina.
Yeah.
And also
I used to compete against Salina in a swim team. I grew up in Kansas from about 6 to 20.
I lived on a big ranch out in a place called Russell, Kansas, which is out west.
Oh, my dad's name is Russell. I know where Russell, Kansas is.
Yeah.
Actually, one of my assistants is there. Yeah. No, I grew up in Newton, just outside of Wichita, and I got a lot of family all from around the area, and they're all mostly still there, too. So,
What brought you out here?
You know, I look back and I try to figure out what did that. I was going to school in Missouri at the time, and I just finished a year, and my draft card was knocking on the door.
Sure.
And I had a sister and her husband lived in Bremerton, and why, I don't know. I got on a train and came out here and never went back.
Oh, for crying out loud. We have, Reba, we have very similar backgrounds. My grandpa was working in South Dakota, the home state gold mine, and he was a pipe fitter. and they needed help out in Bremerton working on aircraft carriers.
Yeah.
So my grandpa picked his whole family up and moved out to Bremerton to work on the aircraft carriers. Later, that ended up in a transfer to Pearl Harbor. So mm-hmm. during World War II, he ended up working in Pearl.
Yeah.
And my grandma cried and cried and cried that they were getting shipped off to some godforsaken island in the middle of nowhere. They had no idea what to expect with that. But I can only imagine, mm-hmm. So
all of us have some kind of connection to Bremerton, because my brother, who I told you was a Navy,
mm-hmm.
Was actually stationed in Bremerton for a period of time because he was a submariner. So he was on nuclear subs. And then my best friend's son was also there for a while.
My dad was a submariner.
Yeah.
So he ran the old
diesel
boats.
It's a special kind of people.
That's right. That's right.
That go on subs.
Well, so fascinating. So in your time, so you're flying all over, and you're in the Pacific Conference, which was mm-hmm. brutal, just brutal. So what was it like being a 20-year-old, kind of jumping into that?
Well, looking back and thinking about that time, actually, I probably shouldn't say this, but it really wasn't too bad.
Yeah?
When we were in New Guinea, because we were a transport outfit, we did flights into Australia monthly with what they called R&R. So we were always flying groups of other Air Corps people into Australia for these.
Oh, I see. Sure.
R&R. And, of course, we always
So they were always in a really good mood.
Well, and we always had a pretty good time, too. The plane always quit flying when you got there.
Funny about that.
Funny.
Sydney. Kind of broke down a little
odd
bit.
Odd how that happened.
Yeah.
Safety first.
Had a good crew chief.
There you go. Where'd those spark plugs go? Dang, I don't know. Yeah. Oh, for crying out loud.
Oh, man. So going on your Puget Sound Honor Flight was maybe a little bit like that, because you got to go and have a little bit of fun.
A lot of fun.
Yeah?
A lot of busy fun.
Yeah.
What did you see when you were back in D.C. then?
Yeah.
Oh, we saw every memorial that they've been built back there, and they've got a lot of them. And they just had this scheduled time, so we hit every one of them and in the 2 days. And so it was nonstop. And going right in the middle of our flight, it was the, that weekend.
Did you go around Memorial Weekend?
Yeah, it was Memorial Day weekend.
Wow,
so
wow.
They had a lot of activities back there that the Honor Flight people.
I would think so. Like, we just had 4th of July, and a girlfriend of mine who heads the teachers union for Highline was just there. And so she got to watch the fireworks down on the mall. And she said it was just absolutely amazing. Well, she sent me little video clips. I'm like, thanks, on a small screen, they're not quite as impressive. But
took part of all this memorial activity that they put on back there. And here again, that group of volunteers adjusted everything. They had to adjust everything from a timing standpoint that we could do that. Fantastic.
So flexible, but on top of everything. Now, and you also got to go with a family member, correct?
Yep, my oldest son went with me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Took care of me.
Was that impressive to him to see?
Yeah, he'd never been back there, and he really enjoyed that. And I guess the big thing that I found out of that, you have a relationship with your kids as they're growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a little bit different. Because we were living together pretty closely for 3 days, and it worked out quite well.
Nice.
For us, so
gave you a chance to sort of reconnect.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's good. Well, that any kind of an activity like that is it can really be priceless. You get so many good memories from that.
They put him to work too.
Did they?
Yeah.
Good.
Well, good. They should. No, I just see it from the standpoint too of if you're a family member who gets to go to that, because that's one thing about when you're the person who's serving in the military, there's one level of sacrifice that you give, and your family also has some of that. But it never really hits home for some folks, really, what you do or what's been given in that time.
Yeah.
And I just think that is incredible that you get to share that with somebody who then gets to take away from that experience what I would hope would be an even greater kind of pride and support and just understanding of all of that.
Yeah, I think so. A better appreciation of really what World War II was so long ago now that not many people understand really what took place back at that time period.
Well, and so, well, and at this point, with what, you know, I don't want to get into a whole political discussion, but with where we all are, and we're even talking about things like Brexit and what have you, being reminded of these big conflicts and what they were about and how we came together to deal with them on a multicultural basis. Oh, it's just so important, really. I think it's fantastic.
You're absolutely right. I just wish there was a way that we could impart that on my generation and the generations coming up behind us.
Yeah.
The it's sheer hard to take level of sacrifice that everybody in our country, you know, went through during that time, especially World War II. Mm-hmm. And I remember even my dad talking about riding around as a kid on his bike. They saved the wrappers from gum, you know, for the metal. There wasn't a scrap of metal anywhere to be found because that was all turned back in, and the rationing and, you know, everything that went into that war effort. Mm-hmm. There's a fascinating book called The Arsenal Democracy that talks about locally here, you know, what how we converted our factories to building tanks and building artillery and of course, Boeing. Mm-hmm.
And wars are so different today. They aren't anything like any of these past wars that we've gone through. They're just totally different.
Right.
So.
Yeah, very, very different kind of experiences.
None of them are good. But.
No.
Yeah.
But.
No. No.
But it is, I have to agree with Fred, is that being appreciative while, especially being there with, like when I went with Louise and just watching them and hearing their stories. And, I mean, you people just get teared up, and it's every memorial you visit, you just can't help but just get super emotional about it.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing this isn't just stories. These are real people that had to live through this.
True impact. Absolutely. Yeah. I've been to other kinds of memorials, and that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to going. I've been outside of D.C. for work before in the past when I was outside of working in real estate, and I'm looking forward to, like, that's a goal for me to get there. I think it's great that you got the opportunity, but I've been to other memorials, like for 9/11 and Oklahoma City bombing, and walked away from each of those completely moved.
Yeah.
But we'll be back. We're going to talk a little bit more about the program and what you can do to be part of it when we get back in about 1 minute.
Okay.
Open House has open phone lines. Give us a call at 866-712-1300.